Actors Talk Podcast with Tommy G. Kendrick, episode 26. Welcome, everybody, to episode 26 of Actors Talk. My name is Tommy G. Kendrick. I am the producer and the host of our little get-together here, and I'm very, very happy that you've chosen to join us. If this is your first time, thank you especially. Please go to ActorsTalkPodcast.com, and you can sign up for the email list, and that way you won't miss anything that goes on, any episodes or any announcements that we have to make. I promise you, I will not fill your email box with spam. I am very, very excited about this episode of Actors Talk. I'm excited about them all. I have such great people to talk to, and tonight is no exception. And that's one of the reasons I'm excited. The other is that I'm really pleased to announce that we have a new sponsor on Actors Talk. Kiwai'i 100% True New Zealand Spring Water has come on board as a sponsor, and I'm very, very happy about that. You know, it's really good timing for Kiwai'i to come on board as a sponsor because the topic for this episode of Actors Talk is voice acting. I will promise you that any experienced voice actor will tell you how important it is to be properly hydrated before you stand in front of a microphone to begin recording. So thank you so much to Kiwai'i 100% True New Zealand Spring Water. Be sure to check their website. That's at kiwaii.com, or you can go to actorstalkpodcast.com/water. I am so happy to present this interview that we have tonight. If you have any interest in voiceover work, I really hope this will be an episode that gives you some of the information you need to begin or to further your efforts in that arena. My guest is Ms. Betty Zoller. You have heard the voice of Betty Zoller in spots for Chiffon Margarine, Pace Picante Sauce, American Airlines, Banquet Foods, the American Red Cross. Oh my goodness, scores and scores of other commercials, but she's not limited to commercial voiceovers only. Betty narrates audios at the Smithsonian American History Museum, the Holocaust Museum. She voices apps, building tours, city walk tours, GPS systems, toys, games, greeting cards. Wherever there is a need and a market for voiceover and a voice actor, Betty Zoller's voice is there or has been there. She is a professional audio engineer. She runs her studio Voices in Dallas, Texas, and is well known in the industry as a producer of outstanding voiceover demos for other voice talent. She is the recipient of Addies and Clio's and many other industry awards, and she will proudly tell you that she is a dedicated educator who has helped start and jumpstart the broadcasting and voiceover careers of many, many, many voice actors. She is a character. I'll guarantee you that. She is a delight to talk to, and she knows the business. There is some time-sensitive information in this podcast, so in case you found this episode well into the future, it was recorded on November 13th, 2012, and published on November 20th, 2012. So without any further ado, let's get to my interview with Ms. Betty Zoller.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. How are you? Let me turn you down just a little bit.
Okay.
Now, how is my volume?
Oh, I can control you, so you're fine.
Okay. All right. My husband can't control me, so.
I couldn't
resist it. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. This sounds great. What was your day like today? Were you producing or acting today?
No, today was a strange day. Yesterday, I had a client in from New Orleans all day, and I was in the studio all day. But today I was out and about in the city doing various things.
Was the client you had in, was that a student or a producer?
Was a student who came here to make a demo with me.
Do you do a lot of that these days, helping actors put together demos?
Oh, yes. I do a lot of demo construction work for people. And in fact, I'm known, I can say unabashedly, as one of the leading demo producers in the United States. My people get work. They work. I know how to make a demo. I know what a demo should be today. And I'll tell you something else.
Yeah.
There's something new that has happened. It came to me about 6 months ago, And I told John Florian, a voiceover extra, about it. And he liked the idea so much that I did a webinar on it, and it was called The Niche Demo. You may have heard about my doing that webinar, The Niche Demo. Some people call it niche, whatever. You say tomato, I say tomato.
There you go.
And it really does work. It really does. And now a lot of people have picked up on that, but I can unabashedly say I thought of it a long time ago, and now a lot of people on the internet are using the term niche demo.
Well, what does that mean exactly?
Okay. It is simple logic. Okay. If I am the woman who hires the talent at a large hospital in your town, do I want to sit there and listen to people who do commercials on pantyhose and cosmetics? No. I want to hear people who do medical announcing, and not everybody wants to do it because it has big words in it. It takes a special kind of talent. It helps if you know something about medicine or science. But if you are the type of person who really would like to do medical voiceovers, then get a medical demo, just medical, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Doesn't need post-production. You don't put music behind medical. I mean, what are you going to do? Talk about, type diabetes with a jingle behind it.
Yeah, that'd be a little weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. We have diabetes, So, it doesn't even need post-production. Just do a bunch of medical spots, little short things on various topics. You can do it yourself in your own home studio. Or if you want to call on a producer, like somebody like me, to quickly put together, or at least they can produce you at the mic, because you sometimes can't hear yourself as well as others can hear you. Put together 6 or 8 little medical spots on various topics, hook them together, and do a nice little label for the CD, and you've got, and then you can also send it out as an MP3, of course, and you've got a medical demo. Okay, that's a niche demo.
Okay, what are some of the other niche demos that you would?
Okay,
would suggest?
Some others are radio, television, promo spots. Just do promos. And another thing a lot of people don't know is, in your town, no matter how large or small, you should get your voiceover demos to your local TV and radio stations to try to get some of their local promo work. You're listening to KMBC, the voice of Kansas City. Just local stuff.
Sure.
And I'm not talking CBS, NBC. That's wonderful, and I hope you get it. I've been lucky. I've had a few that ran on the Leno show and stuff like that. That's national stuff. But you can go down to your local television station, find out who the guy or gal is to talk to. Who hires voices down here? Like News 4 Texas, Nightbeat. Who does that stuff? Well, that's Mr. So-and-so. And let me see if he's here today. And usually you even get to see him. Or if you don't get to say hi, you at least get to leave a note with your demo and a card and say, I'd love to come see you. You weren't here the day I came in, and see if you can't get some radio TV promo work in your region. Another thing is art galleries.
Art galleries. What's up with that?
People rent those earphones and they wear them in museums, and you take a tour. And there are also building tours, particularly historical buildings, your state capitol and all of that. Do a tour demo of museums and buildings. And now that would have some music behind it.
Right.
Or at least here and there. Try to get some of those tours.
Who would you approach for something like that? I guess with an art gallery, you'd go to the owner themselves.
Well, you go to the audiovisual people in the art gallery.
Oh, okay.
Right. And same is true of building. I've gotten quite a bit of building work. Welcome to InfoMart. When we look to our right, we see the statue of blah, blah, blah. And they take you on a little tour of the building.
Sure.
And now let's go up the stairs to the left. And they're wearing these earphones, and you talk to them as they tour the building.
Right. It's a similar thing I've seen for real estate. And sometimes in new home developments or condominium developments.
That is, I'm so glad you brought that up. And also, there are signs in, I know they're in Houston, Texas, because one of my students down there does a lot of that and makes a lot of money doing it. And you punch a button on the real estate sign and the voiceover comes out of the speaker on the sign. And it says, this is a beautiful 3-bedroom house. The foyer is marble with blah, 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 you know, and whatever they want to say.
Right.
Real estate is huge. There are also, I don't know if your city has them or not, but we have them in Dallas. There are 2 or 3 different channels, mostly on Saturday and Sunday daytime, that broadcast videos with narration on real estate.
Oh, absolutely. I think most cable systems have those. Yeah.
They talk about a niche demo. Why don't you do a real estate tour demo and get it into the hands of a bunch of different bigger real estate firms?
Right.
And that's just a few examples.
Yeah. Betty, how long should these demos be? I mean, should they be a minute or 2 minutes or?
Minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There are people who only do 90-second or even 60-second demos. To me, those super shorties sound like, they just sound so short.
Right.
I like to hear more of a person. I don't mean 3 minutes, but I prefer a minute and a half to 2 minute demo. And don't try to jam so much into it. On the other hand, we don't need a lot to hear that voice. Don't go on and on and on with the Indian dialect. Shut up already. I have a buzzer that goes off in my head, and I'll bet you do too. When you've heard enough of something, let's go on to something else. I've heard that already.
That brings up a good point. You've given some really great suggestions of areas that some of us probably wouldn't have thought about for going into voiceover. But let's say you're an actor who has some experience in probably stage, maybe even a little bit of television and film, but you've never done voiceover. What is your advice for that actor? Where do they start to get the proper training, and what should they do before they ever cut that first demo?
Learn the business. Study with a teacher who will teach you the business. Those usually are called the business of voiceover seminars. I have taught business of voiceover seminars for 20 years. I believe that too many people, I'm on my soapbox now.
Oh, good. That's what we want to hear.
I believe that too many teachers are teaching voiceover acting. You can read all the books on acting in all the library and bookstores in the world and be a lousy actor. You can take acting lessons till you're 85 years old or older and be a lousy actor. You've got to know the business. I say, and I've taught in colleges too. I've come from university teaching. I believe that too many colleges in the departments of communication or radio, television, or whatever name they call them, are concentrating too much on acting and not enough on helping the people find a job.
You know, I've had that same discussion recently with several other teachers, and other people I've talked with have said the same thing. One of the failings of educational acting courses is that they really don't teach actors, whatever the field is, whether it's voiceover or film, television, they don't really equip the actors to go out and work.
That is right. Absolutely. Amen.
Okay. I'm an actor. I've not done voiceover, but I want to learn the business. What are the signs that someone should look at, particularly with respect to a voiceover teacher?
Number one, what have they done?
They, the teacher. Yeah.
Have they done mostly Broadway shows? Have they been mostly a jingle singer? Have they been mostly a director or a casting director? What have they done? If you want to be a casting director, that'd be fine to study with a casting director. But if you want to be an actor in commercials, you better study with somebody who's been an actor in commercials and a person who's done voiceovers. If you want to sing jingles, you'd best study with somebody who's sung jingles, not somebody who's sung opera. I mean, use your head.
Sure, it's just common sense, some of it, right?
And the other thing is, there are some very bad people out there who are taking advantage of students, and I resent it. And I hope that they don't give all of us a bad name. There are some people who give free nights at universities, and everybody there has a great voice. And you enroll in our program, and we do a demo for you or two. And my God, it's $7,000.
Oh, wow.
It's $5,000. They charge all different prices. I remake routinely, Tommy, on average 20 or 30 demos a year.
Wow.
That are just most god-awful things you've ever heard, and makes you cry when you hear what they paid.
Yeah.
People have stars in their eyes, and they charge thousands of dollars. Listen, number one, see who you can find around where you live, where you don't have to pay travel to LA and New York and a hotel room and all that. You don't need to do that. And secondly, you don't need to pay LA and New York prices if you don't live there, or if you don't have a cousin or an aunt or somebody you can stay with. You know, try to save the money and put that money somewhere else. There are lots of us great local teachers in Boulder, Colorado, and Denver, and Kansas City, and Dallas, and Des Moines, and Minneapolis. And there are lots of wonderful teachers outside of New York and LA, folks. Give it a shot and look at all the money you'll save.
Yeah, I think the one thing people should watch out for, two things really, on some of these scammer teachers that aren't really going to help is, usually, number one, they overcharge. So people need to investigate and see what a typical rate for voiceover classes or for to produce a demo, what those rates are in your local market. And if somebody's charging thousands of dollars when most people are charging maybe hundreds, then that's a red flag. And then the other thing is, they tend to overpromise success. They tend to play on that stars in your eyes type thing and promise that they're going to introduce people to higher ups in the motion picture business or the voiceover business or whatever, and promise things that they just can't possibly really deliver.
And the beauty of voiceovers is that it goes with everything. Voiceovers are a wonderful part-time job. That isn't a full-time job. We don't do voiceovers 8 hours a day.
Right.
Nobody does. I don't care where they live. There's plenty of time to have at least a part-time job.
You know, realistically, for most actors, acting is often a part-time job throughout a career, because there are times when there's a lot of activity and times when there's not so much, and unfortunately times when there's none.
You know? I believe that voiceovers are never a full-time job. I just don't believe that there is anybody anywhere who does voiceovers 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday. I just don't believe it.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it. They can do something, whether they're writing a novel or what they're doing, or teach dance classes in their basement or whatever they do. They can, you know, they can do that and still do voiceovers.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest misconceptions that actors or even non-actors, but especially actors, have about voiceover work as compared to other types of acting? Are there misconceptions that you find that actors bring to you if they've never done voice work before?
You've brought up a very interesting point here that just, you know, when you talk to people, they say something and it jogs your head about something.
Yeah.
What you just said is a very, very interesting train of thought. All right. Now, if somebody wants to be a singer dancer on Broadway, very, very few of them entertain instant stardom. There are a few, I suppose, but very few. Most think that they're going to have to live in New York a heck of a long time to even probably win an audition. The same is true of being in Vegas, or I don't care what you want to tell, a film actor.
Right.
Okay. They go to Hollywood. They're going to audition. They're going to try to get agents. They're going to try to get seen. Modeling. Let's talk about modeling. Same thing. Models don't expect to be on the cover of Vogue in 1 month. If they do, they've got a mother in the business or something, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, modeling, film acting, Broadway stardom, getting a TV sitcom lead role, all of that is a build. It's a career build. It takes time. And first and foremost, it takes training. Why? Why? Answer the question, somebody. why do all these people think that voiceovers are instant success? It drives me nuts. Why? Voiceovers aren't a get rich quick scheme. It's a build, you know?
Yeah.
And here's another thing. Don't put a lot of money into that recording equipment and you have this gorgeous, glorious studio, and don't buy an $1,100 microphone, and you don't need that. Just buy a mic you sound good in that's maybe $200-$300. Shoot, get a closet and go to Goodwill and get some comforters and take them home or take them to a commercial washer place and wash them and hang big old thick piano covers or comforters over the doors and cover your windows and make yourself a little homemade. You don't need to buy that expensive equipment that people sell to record in. You can do it with plywood and foam rubber from Home Depot or wherever. And I just did a commercial for them.
You know, you're right. One of the things that I would tell people, because I record at home and I struggled for a long time with condenser mics, because, you know, when you start investigating the voiceover business, everybody tells you that most voiceover talent, and they do in studios, use condenser microphones. And condenser microphones are extremely sensitive. They pick up everything. And if you're trying to record with a condenser mic in a room in your house, maybe, well, you very well may hear the water running through the pipes and the refrigerator running and all sorts of things if you don't have a sound treated area or if you're not in a closet. And right. I've actually switched to a really good dynamic mic. I use a Heil PR40 that, like you say, is about a $300 microphone, and it's made all the difference in the world in the ability to get sound that's not compromised by background noise.
I've been building my studio. A studio is a work in progress, and I've been building on my studio, which happens to be a little room off the living room. I'm not in a closet, but I know some very, very successful people that are in closets, and they're doing beautifully. But you keep soundproofing, you keep trying new things,
right.
You keep buying new mics, you keep buying new equipment of all kinds. I just invested in the Motu 828, which I like a lot. And I just keep working on it all the time. I'll tell you the computers I like. I believe people don't do too well with computers that are basically made for word processing because they're too loud. They're too noisy.
Yep.
But Sweetwater, I buy their computer that is made for recording, and it's called the Creation Station. I've had three of them, and I like them real well. But move your computer away from your microphone.
Right.
And move the computer outside the closet, and then turn everything on and run inside and record, and then run outside and butts with the computer.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we're talking about here, Betty, really we're sort of dancing around it, are the changes in technology. Talk to me about that a little bit, how technology has changed. It seems like actors in Dallas can have agents in New Orleans or Atlanta or Los Angeles now, whereas before, if you were in Los Angeles, you needed to be in L.A. if you were going to have an L.A. agent.
Munich, Australia. You can voice for the world. You can do voiceovers for overseas. Do you know that American English is prized the world over? Everywhere. You can find a producer in Samoa who will use you once a month or whatever. You can announce for the entire globe.
Are there particular places actors should go once they have a good demo and have studied with a good teacher like yourself? Are there repositories on the net or casting sites or someplace they should look to expand their markets?
Get known on VoiceOver Universe, and you can get a free web page. Get known on there. Get known on Facebook. LinkedIn is the best business site. I love LinkedIn. Get your page on LinkedIn, and then just Google a whole bunch of different things like voiceovers in Germany, voiceovers in Sweden. You will come up with agents in all those different countries. Then don't try to do everything at once. Say that you've decided you speak a little German and you'd like to have a German agent. Google voiceovers in Germany. Visit the websites of a few agents and then contact them and say, I am an American voiceover performer, of German heritage. I do not speak fluent German. Maybe you do. I don't. I do not speak fluent German, but I do have a command of German, that kind of thing.
Now, on situations like that, if the actor's in the States, let's say, and they're hooking up with someone in Germany or England or wherever, Malaysia or somewhere, is that producer in that remote territory going to expect that the actor is going into a studio, or will they almost always expect them to record whatever the voiceover project is in their home environment or a home studio?
Their home studio. And they'll send them the copy either by email, or they'll tell them to print it out and on their printer, and they'll do it at home, and they'll MP3 it over to them, and it's all done from home.
Now, how much of that work, and this is for people who are just trying to get into the business, and maybe they're not skilled as you are at production. So are there opportunities for people out there who, okay, they might say, I can record the voiceover, but I can't lay in the music or the sound effects or those kinds of things. Are there jobs out there for those people who really are only equipped to do the voiceover part?
Yes, and those people will say, those producers will say, you need not be worried about post-production. I'll do that myself. You just do the voice.
Okay, let's talk about an issue that's interesting to me, because I'm a SAG-AFTRA member now. It seems to me that the voiceover business has changed radically from when I started years ago, where a lot of the work was SAG-AFTRA work. And now it seems, because of the proliferation of the internet and the growth of the internet and actors being not tied to any particular location, my perception is that union work is probably a lot less than it once was. It's predominantly non-union work. Can a union actor still make a living in the voiceover business if they're only willing to do the SAG-AFTRA signatory jobs?
The only way you can make a living, and I'm SAG-AFTRA too, and I have been for 34 years. I have complete health insurance, complete dental, everything. I have pensions. I have an AFTRA pension and a SAG pension. I adore the unions, so I can't speak highly enough of the unions, and I'm so proud of being a union member. And what's happened is the non-unions have driven the money down, and so have the pay-to-play sites. So the only answer is to say proudly, I am union, and I can do your job, and here is what I will charge you, and you will be surprised to find out that it is not that much more than you would have paid a non-union. If you want me, it has to be on a union contract. And would you like to proceed further?
Well, and that's great to hear.
And you'll be surprised on how many that are non-union that you can turn union. And be sure and tell your agents, don't not send me a non-union job. Send it to me, and we'll see if we can't turn it union.
Right.
And many times you can. Be sure and let your agents know that you are willing to audition for non-union jobs, and then we'll try to turn it union.
Betty, in the old days when I started again a long time ago, you had one agent usually, and that was it. But again, because of the growth of the internet and the way technology has changed, there are agents in various regions around the country and around the world. How many agents, realistically, once a talent is ready to work and be competitive?
As many as you can get, except there is a rule that they can't step on each other's toes. You know, you need to, like, if the state is real small, you can only have one agent, like in Rhode Island. But in a state like Texas, you're permitted to have one in North Texas, Middle Texas, and Southern Texas. There, you know how big Texas is.
Right. I'm in Texas, yeah.
Yeah, I know you are. California. You're able to have a San Francisco agent, a Los Angeles agent. And if you're Spanish speaking, you should have one down further south.
Right. Now, realistically, in these regional areas, let's forget Los Angeles and New York for a moment, and probably Chicago. But let's say Dallas, Atlanta, New Orleans, and any other, someplace in Oregon. Are those agents most likely going to be casting for local and regional spots? So there's, I mean, they may be doing some national as well, but there's probably, in those situations, not going to be a lot of each agent stepping on their toes and having an agent mad at you because you've already booked the job with a different agent. So that's probably not an issue, is it?
Yeah, no, not an issue at all. And you're absolutely right. And there is no way that agent in, say, South Florida could know what that agent in Oregon knows. There is no way. That person lives in Oregon. That person knows the casting people and the agencies up there. And you should have agents in various regions of the country. And I suggest having about 8 different agents all over the country. I have 7 right now. And the agents I want right now are somewhere in the West, maybe Utah, maybe New Mexico, somewhere out there in the West, but not Los Angeles. Of course, if an LA agent wants me, call me, darling. I'm yours. I'm easy.
Okay, Betty, we've been talking for a while. I don't want to abuse your time, but I do want to ask you one more thing. Let's say there's an actor who hears this podcast and they decide they want to work with you to get a demo done. What's the process that you generally follow to take an actor through to prepare and select material and then produce a demo? How long a process is that? And can it, some of it be done remotely, or do they need to come to your studio?
Okay. Some of it can be done by telephone and Skype and email, and some of it has to be done in the studio. Also, if the person is a capable engineer, we can prepare for the demo and they can record the cuts in their studio and send them to me, and I will assemble the demo. And I do that also. The first rule is, I don't take you just because you want to do a demo with me. I have to believe that you're good enough to do a demo. And if I don't think you are, I'll send you away and I'll say, do some more study and come back in a year. Right now, you're not ready. I hear them read some copy and they don't even read it well enough to do a demo.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do they send you a demo?
No, I can do it on the telephone. Okay. I've been in this business so long that I can have you read some things for me on the telephone, and I can tell you, or Skype or whatever, and I can tell you, you are not ready to make a demo. You could be, but you're not now.
Is that a mistake people make, going out to the market too soon with an inferior demo? There's something to the old adage about, you know, you can never make a first impression, but one time, you know.
Just think of it this way. You're not a good enough dancer yet. Go take some more lessons.
Right.
Same deal.
Yeah.
You don't sing well enough yet. Take some more singing lessons and see if it gets better. But right now, you're not ready to make a record. The same deal. That's why people say my demos are so good, because the people I do demos for are good. I'm not a magician. It's that the people I do demos for are ready. They're really good. They're prepared. And then I prepare them, and we choose all the copy, and then they practice, and then I hear all the copy, and then it sounds great. And if they sound great, my demos are great. And that's why everybody says I do great demos. Well, my people are great. My grandmother used to say, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, that's true.
Well, along that line, you know, some people are going to be better at some types of voiceover jobs. Maybe it's character voices, or maybe it's trailers
thing,
or something like that. But they might not be so good at audiobook narrations or that kind of thing. Is that true?
Yes. What are you? Who are you? If you're not an actor and have never had an acting lesson, you better stay away from fiction audiobooks. They require acting. Nonfiction, maybe. You've got to know who you are. And let me tell you something else. As far as character cartoon voices and wanting to do video games and all that, that's a very specialized field. And you better really be suited for it. Just because you like to play video games does not mean you'll be good at announcing them. just like in film. There are some actresses who are leading women who get all the love scenes, and they're the leading beautiful actress. And there are other women who make a lot of money too, but they're called character actors. Who are you? What are you? And you've got to know, you've got to find out. And that's another thing about your demo producer. Your demo producer needs to know who you are as an actor. Don't do a cookie cutter demo that sounds like everybody else's. Do a demo that is uniquely you. And, you know, I just love teaching. Now, let me tell you, if people want to contact me, my studio line is 214-638-TALK, T-A-L-K. That's 8255. If it rings, it means I'm in session or I'm with a client. Leave a message. It lets you talk a decent amount of time. And I promise we will call you back.
Betty, it's been a real treat talking to you. Do you have any webinars or any classes that are upcoming in fairly short order that you'd like people to be informed about?
Yes, thank you. First of all, my beginner voiceover workshop, I only give about two a year, is in Dallas. It's only $299 for the 2 days. I keep my prices down for my beginners, $299, and we're at a hotel. If you stay at the convention hotel, it is in the $100 a night range. We don't patronize those hotels that are $300 and something a night. So it's reasonably priced, $299. It's January 19, 20 in Dallas.
January 19th and 20th. Now, do you have a limit on the number of students that you will take in one of those classes?
Yes. It is limited to around 20 students maximum. I do not teach ballrooms full of people.
So I'm assuming that over 2 days, those 20 students will have ample time working with you one-on-one. Is that the way you work it?
Absolutely. And I have guest teachers and speakers as well. So, you know, you can, and I also consult privately by telephone. People really like those phone consults. You know, just like you and I are talking, they right. can ask me all their own personal questions, and we can do an hour and 90 minutes. We can book them conveniently for both of us, and they can do it as many times as they want. So those private consults are great. I want to tell you about the webinar for John Florian, VoiceOver Extra. I just teach this. I just moderate this. I don't enroll it. You have to contact John Florian at voiceoverextra.com on December 4th. I am interviewing Jason Ojalvo, the founder and head of Audiobook Creation Exchange, ACX, and one of New York's finest actors. I can't divulge the name.
Ooh, nice tease.
They won't let me, but it is going to be a blockbuster, and it's only about $37 or something.
Wow, now that's going to be a webinar?
A webinar. December 4th. And then afterwards, John Florian sends you as email the complete audio recording to keep and listen to and share.
Well, now is there information about that on your website?
No. Look at voiceoverextra.com, and very soon you will see all the information and the link on the December 4th voiceover webinar. And then we give a webinar the first Tuesday night of every month, all year long.
Betty, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. And let's give a little plug to the Austin Actors Conservatory, AAC.
That's right. You were here over a year ago. We did a fantastic seminar. If she is available and you talk to her about that, it is well worth it. It's an information-packed time with this lady who knows her business.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, Betty Zoller, thank you. You're terrific, a great talent, and a great teacher, and I really appreciate you spending this time with us on Actors Talk.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, Betty. Thanks again to Ms. Betty Zoller. What a pistol she is. And does she know the business or what? Pretty easy to tell what a dynamo she is. And I have taken an in-person workshop with Betty. I can tell you that she makes voice acting fun and she knows the business. But you could tell that from the interview. Betty mentioned a webinar with the founder of Audiobook Creation Exchange. That's
ACX, I believe it is, Audiobook Creation Exchange, and a beginner's voiceover workshop that she has going on in Dallas in January. Those links are not live yet, so if you'll subscribe to Actors Talk mailing list, you can do that at actorstalkpodcast.com. And there's a box there that says, are you on the list? Just leave me your email address, and I'll be sure to push that information out to you. I promise not to fill your email box with spam and junk. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. That's at Actors Talk. On Facebook, facebook.com/Actors Talk. Don't forget to take advantage of the free trial offer and free book offer for my listeners from audible.com. You can find that information at actorstalkpodcast.com/audibletrial. And lastly, be sure to pick up some great 100% true New Zealand spring water from Kiwai'i. Man, I'm really glad to have them on as a sponsor and thank them for being with us here on the Actors Talk podcast. Well, that's it for this episode. If you're a producer and want to talk to me about acting work, my agent in Austin is Collier Talent, 512-236-0500. And they are friendly folks and always happy to talk to you. Until next time, I hope to see you in the movies. This is Tommy G. Kendrick saying God bless you all, and we'll see you. That's it. So long. Episode 26 is a wrap.